Our scripture reading today is John 14, verses 25 through 31. All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. You heard me say, I am going away, and I am coming back to you. If you loved me, you would be glad that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. I will not say much more to you, for the prince of this world is coming. He has no hold over me, but he comes so that the world may learn that I love the Father and do exactly what my Father has commanded me. Come now, let us leave. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I wonder if you bow your heads and pray for me and with me. Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts would be acceptable to you. And I pray that you, Lord, would be a blessing to us and that you would speak to us things that the preacher cannot plan but can understand would be important. And so use these words, use our thoughts, speak to us that our lives might be transformed ever more to be like Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. This pastors, we've been talking about at the different sites, we've been talking about this sermon for a few weeks now, and all of us have said the same thing. All of us have said, I think this could be a really helpful, important sermon, but I don't know if I've got it right yet. And it's so funny, as I'm standing before you right now, I'm thinking just that. I'm thinking this could be a really helpful sermon. So I hope if you've got your Lenten booklet that you open it, and I forget the page we're on today, but if you've got the booklet, open it. If you're at home, if you want to take notes, we're going to have a number of slides. If the way that you want to capture the slides is to take a picture, I'm great with that. I don't find that problematic. But Mackenzie, would you come up here? This is Mackenzie Bosha, who I did not voluntold. I went to Mackenzie just a few minutes ago, and I said, hey, Mackenzie, it's funny, I saw her come in and find her seat in the pew a little bit earlier, and I thought, I bet she would do this, because she has the advantage of not being older. Mackenzie, you're in confirmation, right? Yeah, just have a seat right over there. Mackenzie is... in confirmation, and I feel like I know Mackenzie well enough to ask her to do this odd thing of being present with me in the sermon. And here's what I know. If Mackenzie is sitting here, I'm gonna communicate better. I'm gonna do my work better. I will do it better because Mackenzie's in confirmation, and here's the deal. Oh, you didn't bring your notes, did you? You didn't bring your things. You should, hey Dad, grab her notebook back there and her pen. I saw she had it. She had it open earlier. Yeah, Barb, would you bring that up to her? And that way you can be comfortable. But I'll preach better because she's in confirmation and I really like her. Do you all know Mackenzie? Super, super nice, super faithful. In fact, give her a hand for volunteering, for being up here. Now, this thing that I'm doing right now is based on a little bit of practice. It's not necessarily evidence-based practice, but there is this guy in Japan whose name is Shoji Morimoto, and this is a picture of Mr. Morimoto, who gets paid, yes, to do nothing. And I don't know if you saw this article in the Washington Post, but over the past 4 years, he has become sort of a cult following in Japan. People pay him to simply be present. That's what you're paying for. It's $85 a session. And here are the kind of things he's done. He's gone to the end of a marathon to wave at a particular person when the guy comes across the line. Because that guy didn't have any family, he didn't have any friends who were going to do that. And so he just had him do it. A person paid him who was moving out of Tokyo to another city in Japan and wanted someone to feel like that was an important transition and that he would be missed. And so they paid him, Soji, to come and stand on the train platform and kind of make a big deal about it, kind of make a spectacle out of it. So he literally ran alongside the train and waved goodbye. A graduate student paid him because he was afraid that he was going to get off track. You know how you start sharpening pencils when you have important work to do? Anybody ever do this when they write? You know, I do it this a lot. And it's terrible. So they paid him to sit in a chair like this, a nice person sitting in a chair, because the graduate student knew that if he was there, he would be less likely to get off task, and he would get his dissertation done. $85 a session just to be there, no judgment. And the writer in the Washington Post wrote about why he's so successful, and he said, he is present. He doesn't judge people for wanting someone to be present. He has empathy for people who may be going through deep personal challenges, but who aren't showing it. One of the things that he did during the pandemic is he would just listen to healthcare workers describe the mental health toll of the pandemic in their life. And they say he believes one of the reasons that he's good at this is, he said, my face, people have always said that my face is expressionless, that it doesn't show a lot of emotion. And he said, I sometimes sit, one woman paid him just to have dinner with her. And they talk about how in Japanese society this helps overcome norms. We think people want so much more from us, don't they? I mean, it's odd because Mackenzie's right here. I'm already doing better. I already have more energy than I would have had with just you all being here. You would think that would be enough, much less you all who are there online. You would think that would be enough, but there's something different because I think Mackenzie and I are in this together. Are you feeling that? We are, right? And we've already even talked about it, but now you're a thing here and I am and here we are. There you have it. And so it's interesting how we think people want us to fix things, us to solve things, us to do, right? What's the number one question a person who is suffering in some way is asked? What's the number one question? What can I do for you? And what most of us want, and we may not even know we want it. We may not even know. Here's the weird thing this morning, because I've been thinking about this for 2-3 weeks now. This morning, I looked around the room, and it just hit me. I thought, who would do this? Who would do this? In fact, poor Barbara, I was supposed to come up and talk about the offering, forgot all about it. She sat down. She goes, you know, that was what you were supposed to be doing. And I said, well, I was doing something else. I was getting Mackenzie to do this thing with me because I knew, did I ask you to do anything? No, I just said, would you just come sit up here? What can I do for you? So often what the person who is struggling just wants is for a family member, a friend, even an acquaintance. Just be here. Just be present. Isn't it interesting how often we feel the burden of having all the right words? What do I say, Pastor? This is a question I hear sometimes. What do I say? And sometimes I tell people, try not to say much. You'll probably foul that up. But if you just go and you are. And now there's a guy in Japan making money doing this. It's crazy. It's like that poem by Jan Richardson that I saw recently. I read this recently. Do not tell me this will make me more grateful for what I had. Give me instead the blessing of sitting with me when you cannot think of what to say. Give me instead the blessing of sitting with me when you cannot think of what to say. So the question I'd like you to think about is this. When has someone's presence really helped you? And by presence, I do mean presence. I do mean there is something about the physicality of distance. I have a phone. And can I tell you, it does a lot of good things, and there are times when I'll text a friend of mine with a thought or a comment. Can I just tell you that this type of communication is never, ever, ever going to match this? Right? I could have texted Mackenzie and said, hey, Mackenzie, would you sit in the back and every so often text me while I'm preaching? I'd feel so close. But instead I said, hey, Mackenzie, would you come sit up here? How are we doing? You okay? All right. If you're ever not okay, you can just, you know, there's steps there. They lead to the exit eventually. Jesus wanted you to know that he would be present with you. He wanted you to know he was never going to leave you. And if you can think of a time when someone's presence really helped you, then you can connect to what Jesus is doing here. Jesus is present with us. We know this in the Bible. By the way, Jesus never said, I am the presence. See, we're doing this Name for Jesus sermon series. And we have these different names, the way, the friend, the teacher. This week, the presence. And Jesus never said, I am the presence and the life. He never said that. But in John 14, he talks a lot about this term. And he tells his disciples, hey, and he's doing a hard thing. He's saying, listen, I'm not going to be with you that much longer. I won't be physically, I will be absent in the body. I won't be here physically, but I'm going to be, what's the word? I'm going to be present with you. I'm still going to be near you. And the way he said he would do this is he said, all this I've spoken with to you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything that I've said to you. And he wanted them to know that he was going to be present with us so that we would have greater peace. Say the word peace. You know, the Apostle Paul talks about the peace that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and mind in Christ Jesus. Ah, peace. You know, it's weird. I just did this as a device that I thought about it during the announcements, and then it kind of ran through my head, and I just didn't plan it or anything. But it's weird, Mackenzie. This may be your spot. Because honestly, I'm feeling better about me. I am feeling more. I have not felt at peace about this sermon. But because I know you're for me, this is one of the things I believe about you. I think you're for me. Because Mackenzie sometimes comes up to me after a sermon. He'll say, hey, you know what I really liked about that? And I'll say, what? And she'll tell me. I'm like, that young woman, by the way, before the pandemic, she was a wee child. And now she's like taller and she's like a young woman sitting before you. But I know she's for me. See, the presence. You know what I'm talking about, presence? You know what I'm saying? Has this been your experience? I mean, $85, you can take her to work. Seriously. Couple hours, you know? So just like this guy in Japan. But Jesus said, Jesus wants you to know he's with you. He's with you. And he talked about the peace that would come with that. He looked at his disciples because they were so anxious. They were like, well, what does this mean? Where are you going? You're talking about where you're going to go. How can we know where you're going if we don't know where you're going? And all the questions, like they always had, why? Because don't we always have that anxiety that's always 100 questions and what are we going to do and just frenetic out here, right? Just what they did. And that's what fear does. And Jesus says, hey, everybody, I'm going to be with you. In the presence of the Holy Spirit, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. I do not give you peace like the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. I love that he names their fear when they haven't named their fear. Don't charge me. Your uncle's dying. It's going to be hard to lose your uncle. Don't let your heart be troubled. Don't be afraid. Why? Because Jesus is present with those we love when they're suffering, when we cannot be, and Jesus is present with us. He's as close to us as a friend we have invited to come sit with us while we do an important thing. What if Jesus was like this? What if we could imagine our life with Jesus? What if we could finally understand, not what if we could imagine if Jesus was with us, what if we finally trusted that Jesus was with us? I'm not imagining Mackenzie is with me right now, am I? I didn't put an empty chair there and have Mackenzie back there and say, I'm imagining Mackenzie is with me. I said, hey, Mackenzie, would you sit up here while I do this thing I'm going to do? And if we can imagine, if we can trust, if we can believe that Jesus is with us, we will receive things that we long for so much, because when Christ's presence is experienced in our hearts and our lives, we can then face any challenge in any circumstance with a new strength and a new power. It will not eliminate grief. It will not eliminate hardship. It will not eliminate all those things. But we will experience a new strength and a new power that we would never have on our own. And the problem with me, and maybe with you, is that I try to live alone too often. Self-confidence, self-esteem, ability. Dig deep. You got to dig deep. What if instead of digging deep, I just looked over and realized Jesus is right here? It would give you comfort. By the way, these are three things you might want to write down. Maybe in your small group, you want to talk about these three things. It'll bring you comfort. Comfort. I don't mean thick pillows. I don't mean a better mattress. I don't mean warm seats in the winter and cool seats in the summer in your car. I'm talking about that kind of comfort. I'm talking about something that has to do with presence, that when you know somebody is nearby and you know they're rooting for you, and you know that if you fell over, they'd actually come over and care. There's a comfort to that. And Jesus knows these disciples are going to need His comfort, the comfort of His presence, because He's going to give them a tremendous commission to go make disciples in all the nations, to go into parts of the world they've never been. You know, they think that the Apostle Thomas went to India. Think about that for a minute. A guy that had lived his entire life probably somewhere between Galilee and Jerusalem, the belief in the church is that Thomas actually went and evangelized in India. Do you know how far away that is by foot? He's probably needed a little comfort every so often. And not just comfort. If you start to understand that Jesus is with you, it'll also give you confidence. I mean, again, I'm a little more confident now. Now, I also, because she's sitting here, I'm like, buddy, you better produce. You don't have that many notes. I'm a little worried. Oh, look, it's on that page. Good. Okay. See, one of the things is you can't judge. See what I did? I was just starting to get a little judgy there. And she was like, did you see how she just did that? That was a very Jesus-oriented move, by the way. Just show him the data and tell him to be quiet. See, she's confident. You know what? Now I'm more confident. And confidence is really important because there are things we're not doing that we need to do. There are conversations that Jesus wants us to have with people we love, and we're not having them because we're afraid. We're afraid we're going to blow it. We're afraid we're not going to do it well. We're afraid. And because we're afraid, we're not doing our work sometimes. But when we know Jesus is present, we can start doing this stuff that's sometimes so hard to do. I was talking with a guy whose son, he and his son have had a lot of this over the years. A lot of frustration, a lot of tension, things don't go well. His son is in his first job, his son has a roommate in an apartment. They got together, they were taking a walk together, they were talking, and this guy was like, I knew I was gonna blow it. I knew it was gonna turn into, Dad, you're so this, Dad, you're so that, I can never talk to you. So many conversations have gone poorly. And they're walking and they're talking. And suddenly the son's talking about the roommate. The son's saying, here's what's going on, and here's what's hard for me, and here's what I don't understand. And they're kind of making some connections, but the dad's worried that he's going to blow it with the son. And so he realizes all of a sudden he's no longer listening to his son because of his anxiety. Has that ever happened to you? And then, because he's a Christian, he just remembered this thing about presence. He remembered, Jesus is present and loves my son more than I do. Jesus is present. So between me and the son is Jesus. And suddenly he became more confident. And as he became a little bit more confident, he slowed his mind down and he listened better and he was wiser, kinder, more compassionate, and thoughtful. And he didn't, you know what it made him do? It made him talk less. Talk less. Why? Because his son isn't really asking him to fix it, solve it. And when they get to the end of this conversation and it's time to go, his son turns to him and says, hey, Dad, really great being with you. Did you hear what he said? Hey, Dad, really great what? Being with you. Most people don't want us to doing them. Hey, Dad, thanks for doing this. Hey, Dad, thanks for all your wise, sage advice. Hey, Dad, thanks for telling me all the things that you knew that I didn't know that you, even though you don't live in my apartment with this guy. Hey, Dad, thanks for, what he said was, thanks for being with me. And when the guy got back in his car, he said he didn't feel like a great dad. He felt like a grateful disciple. Now, do you hear that distinction? He didn't feel like a great dad, like, I smoked that one. I was a good dad today. He felt like a grateful disciple. Why? Because he knew that between him and his son, there was the presence of Jesus. And he said, I knew it was because Jesus was there that I was there. He was grateful. What if our life was more like that? What if our life was full of gratitude because we simply walked with the presence of Jesus and we stop asking, what would Jesus do? And started looking to Jesus, who's with us, as close as a friend, and saying, hey, Jesus, what should I do? I mean, you remember the era in which everybody wore the WWJD, and I'm not making fun of that. It's not bad. I'm all fine with that. It came from a book that was written many, many years ago in the 1930s, and it was a great concept, still is today. But if we think about the presence of Jesus, rather than saying, what would Jesus do? Because Jesus is back in the church. Jesus is tucked neatly in my Bible. Jesus is out there in the ether somewhere. I wonder what Jesus would do right now. What if we just turned to the Jesus who is as close to us as a friend and said, hey, Jesus, what should I do? Because you're here now. You're seeing everything I'm seeing, but you're seeing it better. What should I do? And that, I think, is what changes things. That, I think, changes conversations. That changes our presence. And there are two ways that you can experience the presence of Christ. And the first is in Christian community. And this is why we say, hey, worship weekly. Experience the community of being with other believers. And that's just incredibly important to be here, to be present in the space, to be in the worship experience. We've got this new thing where so many of us went to online for so long and we're trying to figure out, what does that mean? Certainly you're present online. But make sure you don't do the online piece in such a way that it feels so distant that you're not really in it. Make sure it's not a check mark you're getting on a box. Make sure it's an experience that you're having. But there's just something also about the physicality of people, right? That's why we encourage you to be in a life group. Friends, a lot of us over the last couple of years have become more introverted, more disconnected from people in every segment of life except work. And I just want to say, Christianity was never meant to be done as an individual religion. Even monastics in the desert in the early centuries had community, though they often lived long periods of time alone. They had a community to come back to. Maybe we've had our wilderness experience now, and now we're coming back. Second thing, Holy Communion. Oh, by the way, here's the scripture with Christian community. Jesus made this outrageous promise. He said, by the way, whenever, where two or three of you gather in my name, I'm with you. Now, I think he also said to his disciples, I'm going to be with you if you're just by yourself. But he specifically said, where two or three of you gather in my name, I'm going to be with you. There's something about community. And I want you to just see how much presence runs through the scripture. Second thing is Holy Communion. In Holy Communion, which we're going to celebrate in a few moments, Jesus has specifically promised to be present with us when, when this bread is broken. We remember the body, the physicality of the body of Christ. When this cup is shared, we remember Jesus was at a table with his disciples. Jesus is here. And in the United Methodist tradition, we believe that we experience in this time and in this place the real presence of Christ. By the way, on Holy Thursday, for the first time since the pandemic began, we will give you an option of receiving bread and juice as we did it prior to the pandemic. We will also have this option. Why? Because we think Jesus is present in all the options. But it's really important to receive the sacrament and sometimes kneel and sometimes maybe go back to your seat, be at home in an attitude of prayer and not doing other things, but really be present with Jesus as he is present with us. And we have this text. Jesus, this is at the ascension. In Matthew 28, Jesus looks at his disciples and he says, go and make disciples in all the world. And he gives them their commission, and he says, and this is the contemporary English version, he says, look, I myself will be with you every day until the end of this present age. And we're still in that time of this present age. And that means he's with you and me. He's as present for us as Mackenzie is for me. Right now. I mean, that's powerful. That gives me comfort. That gives me confidence. That gives me courage. That was the third word. I don't think I even got to it. The third word was courage. Three C's. I don't know about you. I feel more courageous when I know somebody's with me. When I'm out on my own, I'm okay. But when I know there's somebody behind me, I don't know what that does, but it's powerful. And what I know is Jesus promised there's not going to be a day when I won't be with you.